This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Congress has a lot to do in just 30 short days. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. What is on the plate when President Trump goes to Capitol Hill today? No less than the fall legislative agenda. There are about 30 working days left for this Gordian knot that would have to be untangled if America's tax system is going to change this year. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more on what could become for Congress a mad dash.
There are executive orders to be dealt with, like the decision to end DACA or limit payments to Obamacare insurers. Sharon O'Halloran teaches political economy at Columbia University.
So there are a lot of things that President Trump has done through administrative rule, which either is going to require Congress to act or will, in essence, take effect and will have significant disruptions.
There's also the tax overhaul. And today, we'll see how closely Trump's plans mesh with those of Republicans in Congress, at least for the moment. Mary Layton Atkinson is a political science professor at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte.
If the president signals that he really wants to meet them where they are, it could mean that we finally see some legislative productivity.
If not,
it could mean that we see just the status quo continue.
And that could send Republicans home empty-handed for the holidays. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
This morning, European Union and German antitrust experts were looking through files at the offices of the car maker Daimler Mercedes. VW Audi and BMW also confirmed inspections. Some might call them raids, but they were scheduled visits in search of information about whether cooperation has become collusion. The BBC's Theo Leggett follows the car industry from London. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So, EU authorities, what should we call these? Raids at some car companies?
Well, the European Commission calls it inspections, but certainly they've been surprise inspections, and some people might call them raids. What the European Commission is doing here is continuing an investigation where it's looking at possible collusion between the car makers, that they held discussions over a number of years on things like technical standards.
Well, one example here involves emission controls for cars that have diesel engines.
It's suggested that these car makers colluded on limiting the sizes of tanks used to carry AdBlue. Now, AdBlue is an additive used in diesel emissions control systems. Reducing the size of the tank freed up space for other equipment in the cars, which the car makers wanted. But it meant that the tanks would either have to be refilled a lot more often or the cars would simply have to use less AdBlue. And that's where we get the connection with the Volkswagen scandal, because one of the purposes of the defeat devices used by Volkswagen that led to the huge scandal at the company was to limit the consumption of AdBlue, so owners didn't have to get their tanks refilled all the time. So you can see why there are concerns that this collusion, or alleged collusion, I should say, between car makers may have gone too far, and that may not have been in the interests of consumers.
BBC business reporter Theo Leggett, thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
Let us check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.1%. The Dow futures up 60 points, 0.3%. S&P and NASDAQ futures up 0.1% each. U.S. interest rates, the benchmark up at 2.4% for the yield on the 10-year note. Dollar down 1.17.6 to the euro. Texans flooded out in Hurricane Harvey are dealing with the bureaucracy and the complicated logistics of a post-disaster landscape. Marketplace's Andy Euler has this profile of recovery for one family in Houston.
Melinda Avalos, her husband and three kids have been living in two hotel rooms in northeast Houston since Harvey flooded the house they were renting. In the lobby, she tells me the family's sharing a car because their other one flooded. Her husband's back to work as a truck driver. She's managing everything else.
I wake up at 5 in the morning. I take my husband to work. As soon as I get here, sometimes I don't even go upstairs. I call my daughter upstairs. Come on, we gotta go. And then I gotta get my son ready and take him to school.
This La Quinta Inn where they're staying is full. Employees answering the front desk phones tell callers not to expect any open rooms for at least a month. They're all booked up with people using FEMA vouchers. Avalos says she was impressed with how quickly her family got a $500 direct deposit from FEMA after they registered online. But they've seen nothing since then.
I've been waiting for at least 2 weeks now for a response, and it keeps saying pending when I go and check the status.
She gets out her phone to check again.
I check it every day, check the status every day.
She also calls when she dialed this morning.
First, it told me a whole time 39 minutes. I'm like, well, that's not that bad. I'll just put my phone on speaker and do what I gotta do. 5 minutes later, 129 minutes. It seemed like the longer you hold, the longer it took for someone to get on the phone.
She says the landlord is fixing up the place so they can move back in. It's far from ready, but she goes to the house almost every day to use the gas stove.
I would buy food at the store, and I would go take it to the house, cook it, and put it in Tupperwares and brought it back to the hotel.
She says their hotel voucher is going to run out soon. They don't have a date for when their home will be fixed up enough to return, and the family didn't have renter's insurance. So unless they get more money from FEMA, Avalos says they'll have to foot the bill to replace their beds, all their furniture, and everything else. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And one more number, 238. That's the number of cities and towns trying to seduce Amazon into moving its second headquarters their way. Amazon has not divulged a comprehensive list of sweeteners offered by this pile of locations. But one town in Georgia is offering to change its name to City of Amazon. There's precedent, right? Halfway Oregon changed its name to Half.com for a year in the middle of the dot-com boom in exchange for some money and resources from Half, the internet company. Clark, Texas, took the name Dish in exchange for consideration by the satellite TV company. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.